I feel like somebody in this congregation right here, right now, that you are in that place or that you know somebody that the world's, that the church has given up on and turned over. I feel like there's somebody probably that the devil's told you they ain't news praying for them no more. I come to tell you, there's a difference. I want you to look this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. And for the I begin with verse number 9. And Jesus, as he passed from thence, saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth the master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If the Lord will stand by me, I want to preach to you that Jesus loves a loser. Our Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all the great and mighty and wonderful things that's happened already. God, I appreciate the anticipation of what we feel in the air, knowing that the Holy Ghost is hovering on wings of deliverance for us. And I pray now, God, that you'll have your way again today. Lord, you'll anoint these lips of clay. When I reach for a thought, let it be there. God, touch that heart today. Let faith come alive in that heart to pray that prayer that'll change destiny. God, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus. The congregation said amen. It ought not to be so, but I've probably got to leave a disclaimer here that I believe in every standard of the Holiness Church. External, in I believe in all that we are. I believe in that separation. But let me say this. Holiness is not harshness. It's not meanness. The main purpose that we are in the earth right now, number one, is to bring glory and honor and praise unto him. And number two is to shine a light to a lost and a dying world. My master this morning's more concerned over one dope addict out yonder in the back seats of this country than he is in all of our shouting and our rejoicing. There was a black mama who raised a boy and a girl best she could by herself and had managed to put away some money. The boy had managed to get a pretty good education. And the girl was planning on going to college and becoming a nurse and had great expectation. And the boy talked to his mama and convinced her that he could take their little money and invest it and make more with it. And he lost. And he had to come back home and tell mama and his sister, we're paupers again, I lost it all. That girl looked at him and said, you have stolen my future. I will never love you again. I see nothing in you again. I'm going to separate myself from you. That old mama said, you hush, girl. There's always something left to love. I want to tell you today, I don't care how far away, how pitiful a situation is, how down and degraded it may look. There's something left that Jesus wants to love. Hallelujah. Matthew was a failure because of the tribe he was from. He should have been a temple priest, a teacher. Instead, he was a dreadful, hated tax collector. But in all that he was doing, this man called Jesus. Can you imagine that greatness of him? That he could just walk by where you were at, stop and look at you, and say, follow me. And you push back all the gold and all the money and all the books and just get up and start following him. Amen. He's great. It was probably because of this that sometime later, a little bitty man with a little swiveled heart named Zacchaeus said, I got to see this man. Because one of my best men, one of my best tax collectors, I lost to him. I want to see what this is all about. And you know the story. You see, Zacchaeus, we sang Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You know, Zacchaeus was the man that was always, he was always little. Anybody ever here ever know what it was like to be the last boy chosen for the team? Do you understand how that the teacher said, we ain't playing unless one of you takes him? You see, that was the way, but that's the way Zacchaeus probably grew up. He was always the back of the line. The little fella always got pushed to the side. The big boys always run over him. He was always made fun of. And that little statue caused that little heart to start swiveling up and fill with hate. and he spent his whole life looking for a way to get back at it. That's why there came a day when he looked at the old boy and said, you remember that day you pushed me on the playground? You remember when you ran over me? You see this?
Yeah.
You owe four times this right here. Yeah. And he said, if you say one word, that big guy right there will take you pay. He made it so prosperous that he could walk into his marbled home, clap his hands, and servants run over top of each other to wait on him. They brought him the choicest meats on the finest of vessels. But that wee little heart stayed wee and empty. And in the darkness of the night, the revenge that he sent was a poor bedfellow. And so there came a day when he heard about that man named Jesus. And he said, I'm going to see him. And he's afraid to get in the crowd. Somebody stick a knife in him. So he ran down the road and climbed up in the tree. And he saw him coming down the road. And he laid hands on this one. And he stopped to talk to that one. And he picked up the degradated there. And his heart began to beat fast because he realized the path he's taken through this crowd is going to bring him right by my tree. And when he got there, he already knew his name. Zacchaeus, come on down here. I'm going home with you. I'm preaching to you. Jesus Christ loves the loser.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he likes the down and out. You know, I was meaning a junkyard dog, but I never could stand a bully. I got a phone call not too awful long ago after all these years in high school. I got a phone call from a boy. He said, is this John Gabbert? Said it said here in the book, Reverend. And he said, that's the same. I said, well, he said, this is Herschel. Herschel Bagley. I said, yeah. He said, I seen your name in the book. Said, you Reverend? I said, sure enough. And he began to talk about there was a day.
Yeah.
You know, Herschel was one of those boys that he just couldn't understand his locker number. And he's afraid of getting missed class. So he'd go around with a big load of books like this everywhere he went, every class. And there's a couple boys there that they just delighted in making his life miserable. There came a day when our high school was this floor and second floor up the stairs, and you come into a little landing before you open the doors to go into the second floor. And I came up there, and there was Herschel. His books all scattered on the floor. And them two boys standing there sneering at him. And that little fellow looking at him knowing, oh, I'd like to, but he knew he didn't have a chance. And I said, Herschel, I said, pick you out anything you want there. And I said, whatever's left over, I'll take care of. He said, you mean that? I said, I mean it. Like turkeys. And in a quiet way, I said, don't you ever. He said, I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Lord loves the loser.
Yes, he does.
I want you to know, the devil may tell you that you're outnumbered. The world may have no use for you. Amen. But God Almighty knows where you are. Amen. And your elder brother is there to help you today. He loves the loser. The world says, you made a failure of it. You made a mess of it. You can't have it. We're done with you. I told a lady the other day, I said, you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. And you'll meet people. I feel the Holy Ghost fixing to help me right here. You'll meet people, and they won't let you forget it. There'll be a street that you can't go down because of a failure. But I want you to know heaven don't know a thing about it. Heaven don't keep score. Amen. And the Lord loves those to pick them up. Church, the one thing, and I'm sweet here. I'm trying. I promise you I am. But when we forget that we're here to reach out,
yes,
and to restore.
Right.
Would you ever thought that I would be shot at because I was just simply trying to help.
Help somebody. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A preacher come in my office and said, I'm a pulling out, I'm a pulling this. And I'm pulling. I said, why? He said, because of him.
Yeah.
I said, he might not make it.
Right.
I said, he's balanced on the knife blade right now. I could go either way.
Could go either way.
But I said, if he don't make it, what about that wife and them babies? Somebody's got to be here.
Come on, John.
And if that's what it costs, brother, go ahead. I'm going to stay right here. Because I believe God, amen, can pick up a failure and make something out of him. I want to be sweet. But this is the burden that I've wrestled with since 4 o'clock this morning. Hosea, you're a great young evangelist. You're a great man. But I gotta move in your life in a way that the world ain't gonna understand. I gotta make a point. Hosea, it's time you married. And I got the girl picked out for you. And I can share Hosea said I have too. Yeah, she's that preacher's girl over there. And he said, no, her name's Gomer.
Gomer.
A girl named Gomer.
Yeah. Gomer, I know.
Huh? Are you going to listen? But the man of God marries in a way that you don't understand. Because God's got a plan. And he's bigger than us and all of our prejudices. And Gomer comes in and becomes a good mama. And she raises some babies. And then she left. Did you ever stop to wonder what? Now, I'm a man of imagination. And I didn't read this. This is a commentary that, according to John Gabbard. You know, it might be one of them opinions. But I realize that in Gomer, the pull never got out of her. But I feel like it was the push that finally sent her out. I feel like that there were some women that because of her reputation, because of where she come from, couldn't forget that one day. What are you doing going back 15, 20, 25 years digging in something you don't know a thing on earth about? I think that at night Gomer's come to and said, I've done everything I know to do. I've dressed like them. I've tried to act like them. I've tried to raise my babies like them. But yet they won't let me work in the kitchen. They don't even want me to be part of the choir. Now, come on, the woman, get over that. But there come a day when she said, I'm tired of this. And her husband came home, and Gomer's gone. And that long-tongued bunch said, I know she couldn't make it. My God, if you know somebody that can't make it, why ain't you there beside of them? Hold them up, pull them on. Come on, you get over this. God loves a loser. Oh, God, I got to hurry. Thy name is Simon. You as unstable as ever they ought to be. It's been 5 years now, and Norman's given me permission to use him anywhere I want to. It's been 5 years now. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. Oh, God. In 5 years. And he ain't made a bobble. But people come to me. What are you putting up with that for? I don't know how many dollars I invested in him. How many times I bailed him out and listened to his sad story. Only to see him slip out in the night and go back. Until they finally, some people come to me and said, if he come back in this country, we're going to do this and such. I said, no. He said, yes, we are. I said, your wife's cried too many tears over him. I said, you ain't going to do it. How do you do it, preacher? Because as a day, Brother Neil, when God showed me that every man born of a woman had a cup of mercy. And you're the only one that can pour it out. We can exercise you. We can throw you out. But if God still did, and I've seen God take that last drop of mercy in the cup and turn it into a Niagara Falls. Amen. And I said, as long as there's breath in the body and hot blood pumping in the veins, I ain't going to quit a praying. I'm not going to quit a trying. They're worth, my God, there's always something left to love. We'd draw the line.
Yeah, buddy.
It had been 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
And I draw the line.
Yeah.
And I said, the pulpit.
Yeah,
sin
good.
Stops here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some was exited.
Yeah.
And this girl come to me. Said, I want to talk to you. I was sitting on the front porch. And she said, I'm leaving. I'm going out to her to that church.
Yeah.
I'm going out to her. I said, you are? Yeah. She said, I'm going to cut my hair.
Yeah.
I said, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just dumped her head. I didn't say nothing. And I said, well, why'd you come and talk to me? She said, well, I know you love me. And I know you won't love me no more. And I said, Karen, I hope you don't. But if you go to the lowest mud hole in the hills of this country, you can't keep me from loving you. She kicked the sidewalk and said, that's why I ain't a going. In case you're wondering, she's married to David Noe. Her name is Karen. They're pastoring over yonder, amen, in Alabama, living for God. Love constraineth me.
Yeah.
Stronger than anything. And listen, I can't legislate it to you, but I can love you until you know that I do. I'll never condone what you're doing. I'll never put a sanction on it, but I'll never quit a praying. All they see is Simon. I see a rock. 7 years ago, I was upstairs there at Prophet's Quarters at Richlands.
Yeah.
Ralph's always got a no account dog of some kind, you know.
Yeah. And
I wasn't sleeping good anyway. And that old dog got to barking. And I looked out the window. And I said, you sorry old biscuit eater. And all of a sudden, I remembered a story that I'd heard when I was a boy, read or seen. Entitled The Biscuit Eater. And guess what I preached on that day?
Yeah, The Biscuit Eater.
The Biscuit Eater. You see, this old fellow was a sharecropper. And he was also talented at training bird dogs.
Uh-huh.
And so his landlord was a man who was interested in titles.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to win.
Uh-huh.
And this man was a good hand to train them dogs and had done some good things with them. They had a litter of pups that was, you know, really the right kind of bloodline.
Uh-huh.
But there's one little old motley colored thing that was little. And when the landlord came by and looked at him, he said, you call that right there out. It'll never be nothing but a biscuit eater.
Uh-huh.
A little boy there that had fell in love with that little runt.
Yeah.
And so when they were supposed to take him out and dispose of him, he took him out and hit him. And he'd slip food off his own plate and go out there to where he had that puppy hid. And he'd say to that puppy, you ain't no biscuit eater. You a champion. You ain't no biscuit eater. You're going to be a champion one day. Kept that puppy hid until he grew up. And he trained him as a champion. And every time he'd mess up after on him quail, he'd say, now come on, son. You know better than that. You a champion. You ain't no biscuit eater. You a champion. The end of the story is the dogs are cast. Strange dog.
Yeah.
Nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Against this man's world champion.
Uh-huh.
Guess who wins?
Yeah.
Hey, amen. I feel like telling somebody, you ain't no biscuit eater. Amen. You're a champion. Amen. God loves a loser. Somewhere, somehow, that tape got into the hands of a preacher in Texas. And they was working on the roof. And they were playing those preaching tapes. And along come this guy and said, hey, brother, could you use some help? I need a job. And he said, well, we're needing some help. But I said, now, I want you to know something. There ain't going to be no drinking, cussing, smoking, and there ain't going to be no rock and roll here. You're going to have to listen to holiness preaching about all the time. Well, that's all right. And one day he put that on there. The boy had been working for him a while. He put that on there. And he got to listen to that. So after a while, he looked around. So that boy had dropped his tools and was a-crying. He said, listen, you ain't no biscuit here. You can be a champion. Royal blood can flow in your veins. They crawled down off that roof. And that boy prayed through the old time salvation. I don't know how long it went, how long it went, and how far it was down the road. But one day he came to his pastor. Said, I got to tell you a story. They told him that as a young man, he'd committed murder. He said, nobody could ever find it. It'll never be known. But he said, I can't keep it here and be a champion. And they took it. And that boy, as far as I know, might be still in jail. Serving his time, living for God. But he said, all he needed to say was somebody to tell him, you ain't no biscuit eater. You ain't hopeless. Your case ain't helpless. Your failure does not have to be final nor fatal. Amen. Probably, somewhere in the shadows of a house, there was a woman who heard a man on the street preaching. And he was saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden,
yes, sir,
and I'll give you rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And something climbed up into that cage that she lived in,
yeah,
and got a hold of her heart. And the lady that very seldom saw the sun,
uh-huh,
slipped out into the shadows and followed that crowd as they went down to the Pharisee's house. And then, against all protocol, not knowing what would happen, she crawled into that dining room and crawled up to that feet and began to weep and to cry and to wash his feet with her tears and would cry with her. And he said, woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. You've went from the red light district to a lady that your reputation is going to be told everywhere that you bowed at the master's feet. And I got to tell us today, I don't care where they are. I don't care what they've done. If we can get them to the master's feet, amen, if they can feel the touch of a nail-scarred hand today, God will turn it around. He loves a loser. Oh, God. That woman came to the well. Are you praying? I wonder how many people there are out there that had come back if they thought you'd have them. After his daddy died, David called me. We'd had an exchange or two, and I told him about a young man in my church being saved because of one of his songs he sung at his grandbaby's funeral. He told his boy, he said, when Gabbert goes to Blanchard, they may be an old Indian in the bush listening at him. I don't know if they was or not. He never would say. But after his daddy died, he called me, Neil, and he talked for 45 minutes. And I really feel like he's trying to see how we'll treat him if he'll come back. And I told him, I said, David, I know you probably can't ever preach again. I said, but my God, son, you could sing more people to the altar than I could ever get to her. I said, if you'd just come and sing for me. But I want you to know, you're welcome to come home. Now, you may be so holy and so righteous that you don't want them to know. But I want you to know, they're welcome at Bond. Come any way you want to. Come dressed any way you want to dress. Come from where you come from. I guarantee you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is bigger than what's got you bound. You know I do when I preach on it, I preach on it. But he looked at me and he said, I'll tell you right now, I said, there'll never be a homosexual welcome inside the doors of my church. I'll tell you what he was. He's backslid and fell to a woman in less than 2 years. But I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I was preaching a revival in Ohio, right outside of Germantown, Ohio. I said, I was praying for the sick like we was this morning here and talking to folks. And I just preached on God and help you. I don't care where you are. And that boy walked in there big and tall. I looked up to him, broad shoulder. They ain't all limp-wristed. He looked at me and he showed that microphone down. He said, preacher, can God help a homosexual? I looked at him and I said, buddy, he's the only one that can. But I ain't never seen a sin that the blood can't put out. I said, I'll tell you how strong the blood is. It ain't possible. But if it was possible, that one drop of blood could cross the gap and fall into hell. The fires would go out and lilies would bloom. I grabbed a bottle of oil and tried to cram it up in his front pockets. Amen. And poured it over his head. We began to rebuke the devil. Unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of him. Hallelujah. He twisted like a serpent. Amen. He slithered like a snake. Vile things come out of him. But I want you to know when he came up on the other side, he came up changed. Years later would go by. I came by. I asked that pastor, I said, do you remember Danny? He said, oh yeah. I said, tell me the end of the story. He said, he's down here, other side of Hamilton, Ohio. Belongs to Pentecostal church, called the church's name. Said, nobody knows about Danny but the few of us that was there 20 years ago. Said, he's got a nice family working in church, living for God. That might not trip your trigger. Hey man, you might be so holy you think you got something that we ain't got. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. When we quit reaching for them, we've missed it. Close up your doors and hang something else. You're a shot.
Amen.
Because God loves a loser.
Yeah.
That boy was so tormented that he told me I'm probably the only one in the world that knows his story. And after been shouting and dancing, worshiping and singing for a good while, I seen something on him one night. And I walked over to the side of him and he said, preacher, said, if your people knew my background,
yeah,
I probably wouldn't be welcome here.
All right.
I couldn't tell him about my people's background.
Yeah.
That's confidential.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I could tell him, son, you ain't the only.
Only bird.
You ain't the only one that ever come out of there.
No, no.
Hey, man, you just go on to shouting. Go on to praising God.
Amen.
Amen, because God turns it around.
Yes, hallelujah.
There came a day when probably, this is the gospel according to John. There come a day when lonely Hosea went before God and said, God, I don't understand. And the Lord God's talking to him.
Yeah.
And he said, Hosea,
yeah,
I've got a bride.
Yeah.
I bore her on eagle's wings.
Right.
I nurtured her.
Right.
I picked her up when nobody had anything to do with
that's
her.
Right.
And said, she's played the harlot.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And Hosea said, but God, do you still love her?
Yeah.
And God said, yeah. Hosea, do you still love Gomer? And he said, yeah. Yeah. A few days go by, and he's probably working out there in the field, and somebody comes by and says, now they're having an auction sale downtown. They're selling some slaves. Hosea, right? Pitiful situation. One of them is a woman. She's been a beautiful woman. Her name is Gomer. 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 And he gathered up everything he gathered up. And went down there to the auction block. And stood the indignities. And the long-tongued gossips. And bid on her. And bid on her. Until he won her. And he walked up to her. And she looked up expecting the very worst. And he said, Gomer, come on.
Come on,
let's go home. And Gomer said, Hosea, I ain't fit to be a wife.
I played the harlot.
But I tell you what I'll do. I'll be the best slave you ever had. Hosea said, Gomer, I don't need a slave. I need a wife. And my babies need a mama. I want you to know she may be out there so far you can't reach her. But the Holy Ghost can bring her in and make her a piano player in the house of God. I preached too long. Oh, God. Paul said, you do what you want to with him. I ain't got no room for him.
Yeah.
He quit me at a critical time.
Yeah.
I'm done with him. He forsook me and left me. I'm done with him.
He left me in the heat of the battle.
How there I was, and I needed him. He wasn't there.
Yeah, no, he cut out.
Barnum said, I'm going to tell you what.
Yeah.
I believe he's worth saving.
Yeah.
I believe there's something left in there you can love. And there came a day.
Yeah,
I don't know how long that Mark probably wondered if Paul would ever sanction his ministry, ever brag on him again. But there came a day when he said, bring Mark with you. I want you to go tell them this morning, hey man, I know it's been a bad book so far. There have been some mighty things, bad things written, but the end of the book ain't been written yet. Hey man, you might change, you can't change the book maybe, but you can change the ending.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I like them books, you know, I used to read them along. That when you come to the conclusion, you could decide how you wanted it to end. I like them, because I like a book with a happy ending. That's why I like this old black book. Because when it's all said and done, we win. Who's going to love me more? Who's going to love me the most? I've told this story, and if you've got the collector, you know it. But I loved it. I've read it years and years and years ago. Back in those days when we were still practicing slavery in America. There was a auctions of slaves going on. There was this young man there that had been the son of a king in that country. And for the traders, he had learned to speak English. Tremendously valuable. Tall, broad-shouldered, muscular, Amazon. But there was something about him. Because he could speak English. They had tried every way in the world to break his spirit.
Right.
He had cursed them.
Right.
He had threatened them.
Yeah.
And that day as they was trying to get somebody to buy him, he'd say, you can't watch me all the time. I'll burn your house. I'll kill your children. All the vile things he could threaten out and curse them, he did. There's a preacher man riding down the road in his buggy. And he stopped and watched the spectacle. And all of a sudden, he got out of his buggy, walked over there, and begin to bid on this man. Now it was just him and the black boy, eye to eye. Him bidding, him cursing. Him bidding, him cursing. Him bidding, him cursing. Till finally the gavel falls and he's bought the black boy. And everybody expects him to now to take a whip or a club and wreak vengeance upon this vile, vile man. But he walked up there and takes his bill of sale. And he said, take the shackles off of him. And he's still cursing him. He said, I said he's mine. I bought him. Take the shackles off of him. And they took the shackles off of him. And he wrote him his bill of sale with bank notes and note to go back to his country, a free man. And he turned and walked back towards his buggy. That vile, wicked, ungodly man looked at that. And he looked at that man. And all of a sudden, he started running after him. And he fell and wrapped himself around his feet and said, just let me go with you. Said, I'll stand outside your door while you sleep. I'll watch you. I'll be a servant to you. I'll watch over your children. But don't leave me, for I've never seen anything like this. Yeah. Well, Limble, I remember the day. I remember when a wild young man that my sisters and my family would gather their kids and hide them when John come around. I remember a day when my family didn't think that ever amounted to anything. I remember the day after being, and I'm not proud of that, after being on alcohol from Christmas until September. Never a sober day. That I had a brother-in-law that I cursed, mocked, and made fun of. That fasted and prayed. In the last of August, he'd fasted 2 whole weeks. I didn't know it worked every day. Beg God for my soul. September the 3rd, 1970. As we had every day when it rained us out in the morning, and we drove to the bar. And we'd stay there till closing time. But this day, I couldn't climb deep enough in a bottle to stop a voice talking to me on the inside. I stumbled out of that place with the intention of never seeing another sunrise. I was going to take my old gun and go out on the riverbank. But instead, my sister's boy that lived there in that town drove by and seen me, what a shape I was in, and got me and put me in the car and didn't know what to do with me, so he drove me down to Franklin, Ohio, and dropped me in the yard of my brother, Farmer Caldwell, brother-in-law. My sister said, I looked out, and she said, I thought, my God, what tragedy has happened, as she drugged me in the house. And I got to try to talk to her, and she said, John, you're under conviction. I said, I'm under conviction. I didn't know it, but she slipped away and called a little pastor that they know. Yeah. And about the time my brother-in-law come walking in from work, a little pastor come walking in with him. Uh-huh. I talked to him just a minute, and they got me down by an old platform rocker. And I got trying to pray. Devils laughed, devils screamed. They mocked and they made fun. They've told me every stinking rotten thing I'd done. Yeah. I looked up that little pastor, little fella. And he said, I'm getting up here. There ain't no use to me praying. He said, boy, you ain't going nowhere. I said, son, since I was 13, I went anywhere I wanted to. He said, you ain't getting up from here. Just laid his hand on me, and I couldn't move. But God being my witness, Brother Lindell, I looked up, and I seen the cross, and I heard him say, I done it for you. They didn't love you, but I do.
You know what I done?
He took the shackles off, and I fell at his feet. And I said, let me go anywhere I can go. I'll follow you to the end of the world. And with all I want, I found out he loves a loser.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. You may not feel like you're a loser today, but you may have a boy that is, or a girl that is, or somebody else, a husband that is. So I want to end this thing. By saying this. That Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus. You know the story, so I ain't got time to waste time on it. But when it come down to the rubber meeting the road, she said, I've got a daughter. She's so full of the devil. She's so full of the devil. There ain't no way I could get her to you. But I come to you. And I've come to you for my daughter. Holy key level red like a mahaya. You may know somebody that there ain't no way you're going to be able to bag them to this meeting. But you're in this meeting. And the Holy Ghost is just in this meeting.
Yes, he is.
And Jesus is hovering around here. Yes, and so right now, before we do anything else, I want you, amen, to bring that hopeless case, the most hopeless case you can think of, I want you to bring them to the Master. Amen. I want you to say, Lord, I know that I can't bag them to come here, but I'm going to come up here to this altar, and I'm going to touch you for them. And I want to hear him say, the devil has gone out of my daughter. Amen. And who knows that somewhere tonight in this place, those doors may fly open back there like they did. You're in Middletown, Ohio. When Cliff Carter come walking in the doors, little mama Carter was sweet little old thing. Probably wouldn't have weighed 100 pounds soaking wet. Raised a bunch of scrapping boys. And Cliff was a big, tall, handsome boy. Wild as an Indian. And he finally crossed over so deep into sin that the law caught up with him. They put him in jail. Yeah. Probably would never get out as a young man.
Uh-huh.
But you know what Mama Carter said? Mama Carter said, the Lord Jesus Christ told me that my boy was going to be free. Free on the inside and free on the outside. I don't know how long it was. I don't remember. But there came a night when they was having one of them Holy Ghost shouting meetings there in the tabernacle in Middletown. Mama Carter was over in her little place like she always was, praying. And it like to tore up the meeting because the guys up there picking and singing saw the back doors break open. Cliff Carter come walking down the aisle, and he went, and he walked up beside of his mama there praying, and got down beside of his mama, and touched her, and she went and put her arm around him and said, welcome home, boy. Been waiting on you. And he's the only man that I ever seen come close to singing, ain't no grave will hold my body down. Like the writer of it was. Amen. Jesus loves a loser. And they ain't no hopeless cases today. And in this revival spirit we're feeling breaking out. Amen. There's going to be some hopeless cases come in. Some halt and some lame and some crippled and some blind. How are you going to treat them? You going to say, welcome home, sis. Glad you're home, brother. Amen. Amen. I know you're crippled. I know you're lame. But I tell you what, I'll help you along the way. We're going to go into the Lord's glory together. Amen. We're going out of here. I wonder if you would just catch somebody in your mind. Let's stand all over the building. Just catch somebody. Is there somebody that God's put on your heart? Some heart that's broke. Or is your heart broke because you've been a failure? If there is, you just slip out with the rest of us and come on up here. God, I want you to know God's going to take over. Amen. And that which was hopeless, you felt was helpless.